It's 10 o'clock. This is The World Tonight with Robin Lustig. The government is to pay £2.25 million to a Libyan dissident and his family, our security correspondent Gordon Carrera. And now what I think must be a first in this programme's history, because Ritter has turned up here in the studio, which means that they're both here at the same time, and I don't think that has ever happened before. Ritter, I think perhaps I can guess why you're here.
Someone mentioned that this might be your last World Tonight after a mere 23 years, is it, Robin? I don't think anyone's counting, but I still can't believe it's true. I don't think lots of other people can either. We're all going to miss you a lot, but we're not going to let you go without remembering some of your finest broadcasting moments. Oh, yes. We've been having a bit of a dig into the archives and having a little bit of fun, too. Have a listen. I hope you like it.
Hello? Oh, hello, good afternoon. I'm from the BBC.
Yeah.
I'm looking for Dr. Karadzic, and I'm told that his house is along this road. Have you seen him at all today?
I've never seen him before. Who is that guy?
Well, I'm now at the northernmost point of my journey. I've just taken a barge across the Xingu River. It's one of the mightiest tributaries of the Amazon. And I'm in a clearing in an indigenous village. It's called Pierasu. A lot of the villagers I've gathered round. There are about 500 of them live here, all of them trying to live a traditional way of life. With me is one of Brazil's most important indigenous leaders. His name is Chief Roni. He's a very striking looking man. He's about 80 years old. He's just told me he can't be sure of exactly how old he is. He's bare-chested, and he's got a huge wooden disc about 10 centimetres across, I'd say, inserted into his lower lip.
OK, if he were to come along here, you would see him, right?
Of course.
Right. And I'm interested, if you were to see him, what would you do? Would you have to stop him?
No, it's not our job.
All right, so you say his house is 2 kilometres on the right?
You can go straight.
Yeah.
And then on the right side.
Yeah. OK, thanks for your help. I'm great.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
It's very nearly daybreak here in Hong Kong, and soon 4,000 Chinese troops will be streaming across the border to take up their duties as the new defenders of Hong Kong. It has been a truly remarkable day, an unprecedented mix of pageantry, ceremonial and tears, as the royal yacht Britannia steamed away for the last time, carrying with her Prince Charles and Britain's last colonial governor here, Chris Patten. It's not often on this programme that we report on new record releases, but this one is slightly special. Not only is it the first solo album to be released by the former Beatle, Sir Paul McCartney, for more than 4 years, it also just happens to include this number, entitled The World Tonight. Earlier today, Paul McCartney came into the World Tonight studio to talk about his World Tonight and to tell me how it came to be written.
I wrote it as part of my new album, and I had no idea the title was going to be The World Tonight. The lyrics just sort of ended up there. I can see the world tonight. Look into the future. See it in a different light. I can see the world tonight.
I can see the world tonight.
Well, we've come just a little less than 2 kilometres, in fact, and there's a little track here coming down to the right, and there's a couple of police officers. Let's see how far we get. Good afternoon. We're from the BBC. My name is Robin Lustig. We're hoping to see Dr. Karadzic, and we wondered if it might be possible to have a brief interview.
1 minute.
Thank you.
Tonight's announcement from East Berlin must surely spell the end of the Berlin Wall. How long, I wonder, before the bulldozers move in to tear down that ugliest of eyesores which has disfigured Berlin for the past 28 years. Tonight, about 100 East Germans were gathered at the wall, chanting, "Open the gate." Perhaps it's all too much to take in. The changes have come so fast that it's hard to keep up with the new realities of an Eastern Europe in which a 40-year-old political dam has finally burst.
It's not a customer getting shot as I go inside. It's a company video vividly demonstrating how bulletproof fashion can save your life.
Can I try on one of the jackets?
Of course.
It's not dissimilar to one I've got, actually, except I don't have that stuff inside. Ooh, it's not light, is it? It's bulky.
It's 1.2 kilograms, but okay. You feel comfortable.
If somebody comes up to me point blank with a revolver, that's not going to save me, is it?
It's a revolver, pistol, shotgun machine, mini Uzi, MP5.
This leather jacket would save me from any of those weapons?
Yes, sir.
If I'm killed, I get my money back?
No.
Well, we're waiting now while they make some phone calls. There are about half a dozen hanging around here. They're armed. Not terribly attentive. And we wait to see whether we get any further.
He's saying that Mr. Karadzic is not here and they'd like us to leave.
Okay, thank you.
Tits there. Robin's greatest tits there. Marvellous to hear, Robin. Those were our highlights. Come on, what were yours?
Oh, gosh, so many highlights. You know, I was thinking, I started on this programme in 1989. We just heard an extract of that programme. I was on that night that the Berlin Wall was breached. The Cold War ended. The shape of Europe completely changed. And you then think of the decade that followed, the 90s. You had all those wars in Yugoslavia. You had what people called the New World Order. You had the appalling genocide in Rwanda. If you look back, as I have been, over the last 20-plus years, the shape of the world has changed beyond recognition, and the shape of communications as well. You know, I mean, when I started, no internet, no mobile phones, certainly no Twitter or Facebook or any of that. It's just a world that was unimaginable 23 years ago, and it's such a privilege to have been able to report some of it.
I also remember a time when you used to present the programme wearing a bow tie. Now, that is long gone.
It wasn't quite the time when BBC News presenters had to wear dinner jackets. It was a choice. I can't imagine why I wore a bow tie.
You looked rather lovely in it.
But you're right, I did.
But how has the job changed apart from losing the bow tie?
Well, it has changed. I mean, mainly, I suppose, because of all those different communications technologies that have come in. I mean, you know as well as I do, Ritula. We tweet now, we Facebook, we can broadcast from anywhere in the world thanks to satellite technology. We can almost broadcast from our smartphones. None of that was possible 2 decades ago. We can do so much more. We can go to so many more places. And I hope it means that in some way we can actually tell people more of what's going on in the world than we certainly could a couple of 20 years ago.
I can't bear to believe that this is goodbye to Robin Lustig. Surely it's au revoir.
Well, it's probably au revoir. I mean, I'm not going to be presenting the programme anymore, and I'm not going to be presenting on the World Service either. What I hope to be able to do is do a bit of reporting, because I love travelling around the world and I love going to new places. I'm going to do some writing and reading and thinking. It'd be lovely if I could pop up on Radio 4 from time to time again, but it's not entirely my gift. If there are any commissioning editors listening, then you know where to find me.
Inimitable, incomparable were a couple of the words that cropped up on Twitter. We're talking about it again earlier in people describing you. You are going to be an extraordinarily hard act to follow. People, when you present the world tonight, and I say this from experience, often say to you, "Oh, I go to bed with you every night." Well, I have to say, Robin, bedtimes for many of us, and I know I speak for thousands and thousands of people, are never going to be the same again.
You're very kind. I never realised quite how crowded my bed was until all those people did say, "We go to bed with you and we listen to you." The nicest compliment I receive, although it's somewhat backhanded, is, "Oh, we always go to sleep listening to you," which isn't perhaps exactly what I would have hoped, but it has been enormous fun. If you'd allow me, Richard, there's just a couple of things I want to say on my own behalf, because it's
important to me on this last programme to say thank you to so many of my friends and colleagues on this programme, both past and present. The editors, the producers, you know, the reporters, the researchers, they're the ones who make the programme what it is, who come up with the ideas, find the right guests, get them to the right place at the right time. The sound engineers through there on the other side of the glass who make sure that everybody can hear what we're doing. I have had the most wonderful 23 years on the programme. I've learnt something new every single day. I've had a huge amount of fun. Most of all, I want to thank our listeners. I want to thank you, because you're the reason we do what we do. And it doesn't really matter where you are, whether you're in the bath or in bed. Don't even mind if you're already half asleep, as long as you're still half listening, as long as you're interested. That's what makes it all worthwhile. So thank you, all of you. Do keep listening. Tonight's main headlines again now. Britain is paying £2.25 million, unchanged against the dollar at $1.61. Against the euro, it was also unchanged at €1.23, making €1 worth 81 pence. That's the world tonight. For the last time, this is Robin Lustig. So good night and good luck.
It is the end of an era, Robin. Thank you for that. And the studio direction was by Wayne Moses and the editor was Dan Isaacs. In a moment, the book at bedtime.